Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, this is Ramble Rouse and Rich Bergeron. Tonight we have one confirmed guest. One might still be getting back to us, but Dennis Maurice will be joining us at some point in the evening to discuss Battle of the Badges 4. And let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of big names in the arena, including one of our former recent guests, John Scully, is going to be doing the play-by-play on Go Fight Live.
Oh,
yeah, so he's a Connecticut guy. So he's in the neighborhood there of Foxwoods, and it won't be too far for him to drive. And I'll get to meet him in person for once. You can talk to him so many times on the phone.
Yeah, I know.
Coincidentally enough, he had his, I think the fight that he told us at one point was the toughest of his career, or one of the toughest, was against Michael Nunn, was on ESPN the other day.
Oh, really?
The same morning, I think.
Sometimes on the ESPN Classic, they do voiceover commentaries, and one of the voicecasters that does the voiceover commentary is Iceman John Kelly. I was thinking if he's doing the voiceover commentary for his own fight, it's a question.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty good with that stuff. I mean, that also is featured in some of the old classic fights, doing the actual play-by-play. It used to be with Joe Tessitore doing that stuff. It used to be in Joe Tessitore's place, I think, before Joe started doing that for ESPN Friday Night Fights. So he definitely has some experience. So he's going to be doing that. There's also going to be a few other stars at the fights. There's If you go to battleofthebadges.info, I just posted a couple new articles about, number one, how you can watch the fight streaming live on your computer with Go Fight Live, and then also, you know, all the different people that are going to be there in attendance. And it's not just boxing stars. It's actually going to be like some other personalities, like Michelle McPhee, who's a local, I think, Boston Herald reporter. She's a pretty big name in the area. And then also Lenny Clark, the comedian, famous for being good friends with the guy from, he's on the Rescue Me show, with, Dennis Leary.
Been, okay.
Friends for years and big fixtures in Boston comedy. So those guys are going to be there.
Speaking of Dennis. World Series
of 2004. Hey, okay, we're back. Yay.
Wow.
Only took forever. Well, let me get to a couple stories here right off the bat so we can close down some windows. Maybe that's what's causing the issue. I've been having a real hell of a time with that. Speed on this computer here. First off, I wanted to talk about the lackluster ratings on Fuel TV 3, or Fox on UFC on Fuel TV 3, sorry. A couple things about this. The Fox deal already paid the UFC over $100 million is the speculation. I don't know if the exact numbers ever came out, but it's safe to say it's over $100 million. And so they decided to use all these different networks that are not only just the Fox network, but, you know, subsidiaries and sister stations and such. Fuel TV is one of them, and I don't have it on my system. I don't know if you have it on yours down there in Pennsylvania, but they've actually had a bunch of preliminary fights on Fuel, and then now this is the third event they just had the other night on Tuesday night on Fuel, and it had the worst ratings yet for a full show on Fuel, only 173,000 viewers. Believe that. That's pretty bad for a free show. And it actually turned out to host one of the fights of the year, according to a lot of experts who watched it. I didn't actually see any of the fights. I saw a portion of the main event, between Justin Poirier and the Korean zombie, Chan Sung Jung. And it was a good fight from what I watched. It ended with Chan Sung Jung won by submission. And it was actually four rounds, went into the fourth round. I don't think it was a championship fight. I think it was just one of those situations where it was a five-round fight because it was a main event, which they've started to do on a few cards. But almost all the other fights went to decision. And we'll go over the full results later, but it's pretty interesting to see that, this big deal that Fox spent over $100 million on is not really panning out to viewership. Of course, I think I've mentioned before on this show that they picked a really bad night for the Ultimate Fighter show on Friday night, especially seeing as it's in starting out in Friday Night Fights season for ESPN. And, even though there's probably not a huge percentage of boxing fans who have crossed over to MMA, there's enough to where the people that want to watch boxing are going to switch over and might not even watch any of The Ultimate Fighter or end up having to catch it online afterwards or the replay later at night that they do usually. So I think it was just poor planning on the scheduling, number one, and the network placement. FX is way more popular. I know I have that in addition to Fox, and most people who have basic cable are going to have FX rather than Fuel. So maybe they should have done the events instead of being on UFC on Fox and UFC on Fuel. It should be UFC on FX events instead of this Fuel TV, because, I mean, I don't see anybody running out and trying to add Fuel TV just because of, these few shows that they're going to have on there. But hopefully they'll work that out whenever they reschedule their contract or renew it and figure out a better way to get viewers to see these fights. And, they basically, scoured the internet looking for the videos of these fights, so you can't even watch them after the fact half the time, which is disappointing. But 173,000 viewers, I mean, that's pretty damn low. And, obviously the UFC is probably not losing out that much on the deal, but Fox is. And you'd think they'd be a smarter company than that, being in the position that they are. But that was a story I thought was interesting. And we also had a guy who fought on that card, Tom Lawler, was in the news today because he's actually broke going into the fight. He told Ariel Helwani in this post-fight interview, "This money that I got today," he said, "it's going to be the first time I deposited a check in over a year and a half. This is like a big deal to me. I had to borrow money from friends and family just in order to go into this fight. I want to thank them, obviously. This means a lot to me. Mentally, it means a lot to my bank account." Sure. I think I miscalculated the cost of living in the Northeast. I basically took all my money, bought a house, and blew through my money. Just living costs, traveling, price of gas, multiple training locations. So that's pretty interesting. The guy hasn't stepped in the cage in 7 months. And he won a $40,000 bonus also for his fight because it was knock out of the night. So he won against Jason McDonald and was out there, and it was one of the only knockouts of the night, actually. Not the only. Let me check here. Yeah, it was the only knockout of the night. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 decisions, and that one KO and two submissions, or three submissions, including the main event. Called the Brabo choke in the main event, which I've never heard of, but I'll have to watch it later and see what that actually means. Anyway, the other submission was a guillotine choke by a guy who loves guillotine chokes, and anybody who ever watched the Ultimate Fighter season with him on it would know this. But Cody McKenzie went in against Marcus Levasseur, and Levasseur didn't last too long. In the first round, at the 305 mark, he got caught by Cody McKenzie's signature move. He's won like 99% of his fights by guillotine submission. So I don't know. I don't know why Levasseur didn't train hard enough to avoid those or got caught in one. But I guess McKenzie's just that good at pulling those off. The other submission was the rear naked choke of our former guest, Kamal Chalarus, by Rafael Dos Anjos. And Chalarus, we've had on before on the show to talk about his debut fight, which he lost. And this will be his, this is his third loss in a row, and usually that means he's kicked out. We hope that he gets another shot, but we'll see. Doesn't bode well for the third straight loss there, to keep him in. He lost to Jim Miller first, then Khabib Nurmagomedov, and then Rafael Dos Anjos. His record falls to 7-3 with two draws. Now, also on that card, we had all the decisions. We had a unanimous decision for Donald Cerrone over Jeremy Stevens, a split decision win for Amir Sadala over Jorge Lopez, Eve Jabouin won by unanimous decision over Jeff Hoagland, Igor Pokrzyjak had a win by UD against Fabio Maldonado. We had Brad Tavares back in action against Donggi Yang. Yang lost by unanimous decision in that one. And we had TJ Grant versus Carlo Prater. TJ Grant came away with the unanimous decision there. Johnny Eduardo beat Jeff Karn by unanimous decision. And finally, Francisco Rivera beat Alex Soto by unanimous decision there. And we had... we have a couple big events coming up with Bellator. It's got a big finale event tomorrow, Bellator Fighting Championship 69. And they go by the numbers of the seasons. Every 10 shows, it's like a new season for them. So this is the final of the sixth season. And it's going to be a main event between Michael Jose Falco Gonzalez, who's 30-4, and Andreas Spang, 8-1. Also a former guest we had on just a few weeks ago now. And we have Carl Amasu, 14-4-2, versus David Rickles, who's undefeated at 10-0. We have a nice female fight here between Megumi Fuji, who's 25-1. Not realize she had that great a record. Fighting Jessica Aguiar, who's 13-4. Also have Ron Sparks versus Kevin Asplund. Sparks is 8-1. Asplund is 15-1. Mark Holada, 11-3, versus Abe Wagner, who's 10-5. Andrei Koreshkov, 9-0, versus Derek Krantz, 11-5. Calvin Hackney, 11-2. Versus E.J. Brooks, 6-0. Richard Hale, 18-4-1. Versus Josh Burns, 6-5-0. And finally, Josh Quayhagen, 3-0. Versus Cliff Wright, 6-2. And our final big MMA event of the weekend is the big event, the Strikeforce Heavyweights, Barnett versus Cormier final for the Grand Prix tournament there that will... usher out the heavyweight division of Strikeforce before these guys all go over to the UFC, as the plan goes. We have Barnett, who's 31-5, facing Cormier, who's 9-0, and coming in to the pro ranks as a real significant wrestler. Barnett has actually done wrestling at the Greco-Roman and at the professional level over in Japan, in catch wrestling, they call it. So he's definitely going to be a match for Cormier, and it's age and experience versus youth and hunger, I guess, in this fight. But I think it'll be a good one. I think it'll be better than people maybe might think, looking at the record of Josh Barnett there. And we got another big fight between Gilbert Melendez and Josh Thompson. I believe this is the third in their careers, the third time that they fought each other. Melendez 20-2. Josh Thompson is 19-4. Also on this card, we got Rafael Cavalcante, who's 11-3, fighting Mike Kyle, who's 19-8-1. Christopher Spang, I don't know if he's related to Andreas, but Christopher is 4-1, fighting Nashawn Burrell, who's 8-1. Gisayas Cavalcante, who's 6-4-1, fighting Isaac Valley Flag, who's 12-3-1. Virgil Zwicker, 10-2 versus Carlos Augusto Filho, who's 5-0. Gian Vellante, who's 9-3, fighting Derek Maimon, who's 12-4. And finally, Quinn Mulhern, 17-2 versus Yuri Villafort. So that's it for the mixed martial arts stuff coming out. Another story came out today. Lamont Peterson is going to be scheduled for a June 13th appearance in Las Vegas. And it's not at a sanctioned event. It's before the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Peterson's lawyer said that he'll respond to inaccuracies about his positive urine test in March for unacceptably high levels of synthetic testosterone. The lawyer previously said that Peterson received a one-time medical testosterone treatment in November before a disputed December 10th split decision with Khan in Washington, D.C., which makes me wonder, how that didn't hold up that fight if it was before and they didn't test it. But this is the first I've heard in a long time of boxers getting caught up with testosterone replacement therapy like I've heard of in MMA. So it kind of adds a new twist to the story. I didn't realize it was testosterone that he was busted for. But still probably have some kind of explanation. What it will be, we don't know, but we'll find out June 13th. Lucky 13th, hopefully, for Peterson. All right. So did you get a chance to watch any boxing over the weekend?
I did not get to see any live boxing over the weekend. There was a fight card in Philadelphia, and that was Saturday night. It was another band promotion, Brittany Rogers, in conjunction with Russell Pelf. And I was actually at the Phillies game on Saturday. That's why I didn't get a chance to go. We were doing I was taking my mom to the game for Mother's Day. Then my aunt went, my cousin went. It was a kind of family thing. I acted up as usual. Nothing out of the norm. But the fight, and I talked about it last week, I did not expect it to be a very crowd-pleasing fight, was a fight between up-and-coming Philadelphia Southpaw, the new Ray Robinson, very tall, lanky fighter, and has good movement. He was fighting former Olympian Terrence Heat Coffin, who hasn't fought in a while. Terrence actually trains and works out at the Newtown Athletic Center, so he was kind of excited it was going to be a homecoming for him. Unfortunately, the result was not what he was looking for. What I was expecting to be a very defensive fight with two guys really feeling each other out was not the case. Ray Robinson came out like a bat out of hell. And really, I saw the highlights, really took it to Terrence Coffin. And he dropped him, he stunned him in the second round, and he knocked him down. And you figured the clip of the video was only a few seconds long. It was like 50 seconds long. I was like, and the knockdown didn't occur until about 35 seconds. I'm like, damn, I said, I just knew they're not going to show the knockout. And I was wrong also, because as soon as the referee waved them back together after the eight count, Ray Robinson came in and absolutely blasted Coffin with a right hook, putting him down flat on his back. Referee stopped it without even a count. So impressive performance by the new Ray Robinson. I would have liked to have gone to the card in Newtown, but that's about an hour plus for me, and like I said, I already had a commitment going that night.
Wow. Sounds like a crazy show there.
I'm at the Athletic Center. The one thing I did notice from the pictures, and obviously it was nighttime, so it wouldn't make as much of an effect, but they did have, I guess, covers over the windows. The rec room where they were having the fight, the ballroom, I should say, when I did that ring announcing show there back in 1998, we had a mid-afternoon show, and the sun was beaming, like, right in, and that actually led to the downfall to my good friend Chucky Masaccio, the light got in his eyes and he kind of got clocked with a pretty hard shot. But it looks like they, even though it was a nighttime show, they took precautions to make sure that none of the elements, you know, affected the show. But it's a nice little ballroom, you know, nice little gym, and, you know, I had about 1,000 people there, so not bad for a, you know, small up-and-coming show, and, you know, hopefully another success in, you know, Philadelphia. And, hey, if it's another venue to hold fights at, not a problem at all. I should have asked her if, and maybe the reason I didn't answer is I'm forgetting the guy's name, but he went to Lock Haven, and he and I were friends for a while. Then we kind of had a falling out. I hadn't talked to him in about 2 years. And he had graduated shortly after we had a falling out. So, you know, I never had a chance to see him really patch it up. So about 2 years later, he was working at the Newtown Athletic Center, and he was the guy that helped coordinate this boxing show. And when I came down there, you know, he was very friendly to me, and we were able to patch up our differences. So it was the last time I saw him, but at least, you know, we, you know, patched up, you know, our differences from a few years before. And I was just wondering when I heard the card was going to be there, if he was still working there as athletic director.
Well, good luck with that. One of the other stories that is coming across the wires with boxing lately, pretty much clogging the list of Google Alerts links that I get every day last couple of days, is Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather, but not in the way that you'd want to hear about. They're having a little gay debate, let's call it. Manny Pacquiao came out, being the religious guy that he is, and responded to, I guess, Obama's latest crusade to shine a light on same-sex marriage and show that he approves of it. So Manny Pacquiao came out and made the mistake, I guess, of leaving a little bit open-ended comments on the table about his anti-gay. Basically he said that, you know, he doesn't approve of same-sex marriage, but went out on a limb and quoted scripture or something like that. So people actually attributed him to saying that all gays should die. And then Floyd Mayweather came out in response and said that he supports Obama. So instead of talking about putting a fight together between them, they're talking politics. So that was kind of an interesting story that was going across the wire. But I would rather hear about what they think of fighting each other than what they think of gay marriage. You know, even as a sidelight to some of these stories, they don't even mention, you know, whether they're going to actually fight or not.
You know, just kind of take the test and let's go.
Right. But actually, the controversy surrounding the thing got worse when Manny tried to show up at a mall for an interview, and the mall owner decided, because of his so-called intolerance, that they weren't going to even allow him in the mall anymore. He's banned from the mall. So, whatever. I guess, you know, free speech goes out the window when you're dealing with a situation like that and you're partisan or whatever the deal is. But it doesn't matter to me. I just want to talk about Manny and Floyd fighting. But it's in the news, so I figured I'd mention it. Other than that, we got some big boxing matches coming up this weekend. Not too big, but big enough. Did you know Brad Pitt is fighting at cruiserweight this weekend?
I missed the first part of that. What did you say?
Brad Pitt is fighting this weekend at cruiserweight. Not the Brad Pitt, sure. But spelled the same way down in Victoria, Australia. Yeah, right. Why not? Cruiserweight, Brad Pitt, 12-0 at 10 knockouts, fighting Joel Casey, who's 15-9-3 with 10 knockouts. Also a light heavyweight fight between two undefeated guys, Blake T. Caparello, 11-0, with 5 knockouts, 1 draw, fighting Robert Berridge, who's 15-0-1, with 11 knockouts. And the main event is an IBO super featherweight title fight between Will Tomlinson, 18-0-1, and Daniel Ruiz, 27-4-1. And so that's down in Australia on Friday night, tomorrow night, which is, I think it's different here. It's a completely different day here. We're in that the last UFC fight. That's in Australia. Let's see what else we got here. Go to page 2. There's an interesting bout over in Belgrade, Serbia on Friday. We got the IBF Intercontinental Light Middleweight title on the line in a 12-rounder between Nikola Stevanovic, who's 22-1-1 with 8 knockouts, and Ayub Nefsi, who's 17-1-1 with 3 knockouts. And I guess we could call this the Jesus Fight of the Week and the this Match of the Week, sort of. Jose De Jesus Lopez, 21-10, 16 knockouts, fighting Santiago Bustos, who was 2-1-1. Well, he's 2 wins, 2 come by knockout. And that's from Islas Baleares, Spain, on Friday.
Well, I'll always tell you the fight that I always wanted to see more than anything, or what I'd love to see more than anything for our broadcast, is we always talk about the Jesus Fight of the Week, the Mismatch of the Week, and anytime Ali Chiba is fighting. And what I want is Ali Chiba to be fighting in the Jesus Fight of the Week against a guy named Jesus something or other who's like 0-85. We have Ali Chiba, the Mismatch of the Week, and the Jesus Fight of the Week all rolled into one.
Yeah.
That would be the ultimate trifecta.
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
We had a few mismatches over in the UK, in the main event, no less. Light welterweight 6x3. Fight between Bobby George, who's 5-0, and Eric Malik. This might not be really a mismatch, but it's a pretty bad record. Malik has a record of 12-46-2, with 4 knockouts. Bobby George is 5-0 with 3 knockouts. And we have a heavyweight match with Matt Skelton, 26-6 with 21 knockouts, fighting Thomas Mrazek, who's 7-34-5. And there's also a fight later on the card, the middleweight. Peter Vaughn, who's 5-1-1, with 1 knockout, fighting Duncan Cottier, who's 276-3.
Nice.
76 losses, but he's only been knocked out 5 times. That's pretty good.
He's durable, and out of 81 fights, he's not lost 5 of them. Now look at the positives.
Well, here's a good set of fights here down in Hollywood, Florida on Friday. Claudio Marrero, 11-0 with 9 knockouts, will be fighting for the WBC Fekir Box featherweight title against Emmanuel Lucero, who's 26-9, 14 knockouts, and 1 draw. And we have super featherweights, Arginis Mendez, 19-2 with 10 knockouts, fighting Hector Velasquez, 51-17-3 with 35 knockouts. And then we have bantamweights Juan Carlos Payano, 9-0 versus Luis Maldonado, 36-8-1 with 27 knockouts. That's a pretty good card there. And we got a fight, another fight on Go Fight Live TV on Friday from Dover, Delaware. Franklin Lawrence, 17-2-2, fighting for the vacant NABA heavyweight title against Mike Mollo, who's 23-1, 20 wins, 3 losses, 1 draw. And also as a co-main event, they have an 8-round welterweight fight between Michael Stewart, who's 48-7-3 with 25 knockouts, and Christopher Fernandez, 19-15 with 12 knockouts, 1 draw. Not much else on that card. Let's see what else.
And I don't think they have any big outside cards on any of the major networks this weekend. What I got to look into is two things coming up in the month of June. I know a former guest of ours, I covered, I believe it was a fight, Maurice played playing Byram. He is getting ready to fight back on ESPN. Sometime in that area. Also, on June 1st, we have a defense card going to be on NBC Sports. That's going to be in Bethlehem, PA, which is about 30 to 35 minutes from above where I live, just about an hour above Philly. And that ought to be a good fight for local fans to see up there. Getting tickets for that one. It's like my Atlantic City this weekend. I was thinking about going, but just the way everything's been going on so crazy with me, I'm not going to be able to make it. It was originally going to be a really interesting doubleheader with two friends of mine on it. And the co-feature was going to be Chucky Masaccio, coming back off after his loss to Garrett Wilson. And then the main event was going to be Howie Yorgie fighting Jamal Petrusik, that's out of Philadelphia, who is friends with a lot of guys that I used to train with. Unfortunately, I don't think Harry is going to be on the card now. I'm not sure if he got scrapped or if he got hurt or whatever. I'll have to email his father to find out. But Jamal Davis is still fighting on the card. I'd have to look up on who the replacement was. It's a Puerto Rican kid. But once I kind of saw that Harry was off, I was, very just kind of still getting chances that I was going to take a ride down there. And I was going to tell you something else. Guess what I ordered 2 days ago?
What?
It's on my Facebook page. I made the plunge. I made the order.
Made the order.
I made the order.
Milifidel?
No, it hasn't come in yet. My dad had to check out the page. I was telling him about it. He thought it was pretty cool. I am making the plunge into yoga.
Oh, DDP yoga?
I got DDP yoga. Yeah, I ordered it a couple days ago. Hopefully I'll have it, by early next week.
Cool. Well, I'm sure it'll be your pleasure when you get it.
Yeah. It was funny because last week, because I had thought about it when we first interviewed DDP back in early March. And then I was going on vacation, and my hours at work were changing, and it's a lot of stress going on. So I didn't think about it anymore. And then last week, it was a guy. He was a professional wrestler that broke in Philadelphia, and then he made it up to the big stage. They call him the Blue Meme. His name's Brian Heffling, and I think because he broke in Philadelphia, so of course, watching all the local Philadelphia wrestling cards, you don't see him on that. And he was like a comedy type of bad guy. And then he broke with him with WWE, and he was doing all right. And he actually was at school with friends of mine, so we became Facebook friends, and we talked from time to time. And he posted a video about the DDP yoga, talking about the disabled veteran Arthur on there. That was like walking with canes. He was 300 pounds. His life was very poor quality of life.
Passed like 4 million views too.
Yeah, and that was one that showed like 8 months later, and he's like 170 pounds and sprinting.
Yeah.
And then I went on YouTube and I just typed in like DDP testimony or DDP yoga reviews, and I was watching just regular people, guys like you and I. That were doing it and were just doing reviews on it. And I remember one guy, and he's a big fan of mixed martial arts and big fan of boxing. And he was also a former athlete. And he did like a 10-minute review on it. And I was like listening to him, and I emailed him. And he emailed me back, and he really said how it, you know, helped the quality of his life. I watched testimonials with pro wrestler Chris Jericho. I was like, you know what? I think this is something I want to try. I really do. So I ordered it that night, and you know, I'm going to start. My game plan, because it looks like most of the videos are about 30 or so minutes long. So that would be perfect to get up maybe about 45 minutes to an hour early and, you know, just do it, you know. And hopefully that can have a positive start to my day. Because the way I'm doing it now is like I wake up in the morning and, you know, I'm going into work and I'm already miserable before I get in. And I was actually so miserable on Monday that when I got home and I was going to work out, I didn't even want to put any music on. I hit the heavy bag for a few rounds, but there was like, no enthusiasm doing it. It was like, why am I even doing it? Well, I'm doing it because of my body's like, used to doing it. But I was hitting the bag. I wasn't enjoying it. I wasn't having fun. The next few nights, we worked the punch with me and my dad, and Tuesday was okay. Wednesday, we actually had a little bit of fun. We laughed around a little bit, and I felt a little bit better, but still, another miserable day at work, and very, very much negativity there. And the one thing, you know, about, you know, DDP and watching him as a wrestler as many years as I did, and then, you know, just reading about him, he's a person that really tries to base things on positivity. You know, his book was called Positively Page. You know, he even did a gimmick for a while where he was almost going to be like a guru, like, it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. And he'd give you a big-ass bright white smile, and he would just try to be like this ultra-positive guy. And I was like, you know what? But that's a reflection on his true demeanor. I said, if I can be this 30 minutes a day, start my day off, and maybe I can start my day off in a positive frame of mind, it can only help. It can't hurt. It can't get any worse. My day's not getting any worse right now.
Well, hopefully that works out for you. It's good to hear that. Yeah, you know, be able to see. We'll get a first-hand review on our show once you figure it out there and get started. But TDP has been on our blog a few times in the last week due to that video. So you're not the only one who was inspired by Mr. Borman there. And he not only went from not being able to walk to, he could walk, but with canes. But he didn't even need to use his canes anymore to walk, and then now he's running. So
that was a huge thing. You know, and I mean, obviously, with, you know, physical ailments, I'm not as, you know, far, poorly, not as bad as, you know, he was. But I still have, you know, pains in my knee. I still have pains in my back. And
saying,
you know, to help alleviate that is a good
thing. Yeah. Well, one of these days, maybe I'll get it too. If I get the green light from you after you,
yeah,
transform yourself. But yeah, I got about 40 or 50 pounds I could lose right now. I've lost a lot since I came back from Vegas, but not enough. No. Been spending too much time in front of the computer this week, especially. But let's get back to the fights here. We got Friday night fights on ESPN again this week. As I mentioned, it's in the time slot exactly opposite of the Ultimate Fighter. So if you want to watch this big matchup between two undefeated guys here this week at light welterweight, you're going to have to skip the Ultimate Fighter if you're an MMA fan, too. But we have Kareem Mayfield coming in 15-0-1 with 9 knockouts, and Raymond Serrano, who's 18-0 with 8 knockouts. And it's for the WBO NABO light welterweight title.
Raymond had a showcase. Now, he's a silly kid, so I mean, I don't know him personally, but I know of him, of course. He had a showcase on ESPN a few months ago, and he didn't look. I mean, he won, but he didn't look all that great. He's got a lot of talent. I think he's just got to put a lot of things together.
Right. Well, we also have Nick Brinson at middleweight, and then fighting an eight-rounder against Jason Escalera. Brinson is 9-1-1 with 5 knockouts. Escalera is 13-0-0 with 12 knockouts. And then we have an eight-rounder at cruiserweight between David Telesco, 30-7, 30 wins, 7 losses, and 1 draw, with 25 knockouts, fighting Vincent Miranda, who's 14-1 with 8 knockouts.
Light
heavyweight? Cruiserweight.
What's his record? I'll box this up. Do you think David Collective
is a little
young?
Might be. I'll look that up. I also wanted to mention.
About 2000.
All right. Also on this card, before I check out David Telesco, we have Kevin Rooney Jr., 4-1. With two knockouts, fighting Anthony Jones, who's 1-0-1 in a 4-round middleweight fight. And Kevin Jr. there is a promoter and a fighter these days. Pretty big doings for him. Anyway, David Telesco, Roy Jones Jr. Yeah, he fought him back in 2000, January
15th. What you're telling me is right?
Yep.
And I think he had Telesco down twice, does it say?
It does not say.
But I'm pretty sure he dropped him twice. But basically, what we're saying right here is you just brought up an obscure fighter's name, an insane name of boxing. David Telesco, 12 years ago, in his unanimous decision.
Yeah. You knew it. Well, he's lost 3 of his last 4 and 4 of his last 6. So he is probably going to be praying for a win in this one, I guess. He actually lost to Julio Cesar, too, but not Chavez, Gonzalez, back in 2004. Julio Cesar Gonzalez, who was 36-2 back then. He actually hasn't fought since 2009 when he lost to Byron Mitchell. So this is probably, you know, the comeback. What?
That's a Julio Gonzalez that's inside in a motorcycle accident?
Julio Cesar Gonzalez? I don't know. Could be.
Look on his name. See if there's a date of death.
Man, Rain Man coming through again.
Yeah,
knows everything. Birth date, death date, yes. 3/11/2012. His last fight was in September of last year against Felipe Romero, which was a rematch and same result as the first fight, I guess, which was a unanimous decision loss for the Mexico Cruiserweight title. Before that, he lost to Forrest Cloud. Before that, he lost to Reggie Johnson back in 2008. And his last win was actually in 2006. He fought a lot of tough guys. But.
And who was his last win again?
What?
Who was his last win again?
Oh, jeez. Now you're asking me. I just closed the window.
Oh.
Okay, what do we start with? David Telesco, right? Julio Cesar Gonzalez. His last win was against Vitaly Kopitko, who's 24-8
at the time. Vitaly Kopitko. Yeah, I remember watching the fight. I remember the one fight he was out there, and he got a huge lump on his head. I'm really getting obscure tonight, ain't I?
Yeah. Well, he did have a good career before those recent fights, but not anymore. He's gone. Also, this week, coming up on I think Saturday is a big fight over in Denmark. Before we get there, though, it's an interesting fight here in Canada on Saturday. Light welterweight Thierry Jean, 21-0 with 14 knockouts, fighting Leonardo Tyner, 25-7-2 with 15 knockouts. and a light heavyweight co-main event there, 10-rounder between Nicholson Poulard, 17-3 with 8 knockouts, and Lionel Thompson, who's 12-0 with 8 knockouts. Then we go to Denmark. Mikkel Kessler is fighting this weekend on Saturday, light heavyweight. 44-2 is his record with 33 knockouts. He's fighting Alan Green, who's 31-3 with 21 knockouts for the WBC silver light heavyweight title.
I don't see Green having enough to deal with Pat, especially over there. He's only variable here for Kessler. Kessler obviously is a superior fighter. He's got a little bit better pedigree. Green has a good left hook, but he took a severe beating in his fight. He fought against Miranda a couple years ago back, and I think it was like late 06, early 07. I mean, he took a pretty bad slashing. And then Andre Ward pretty much, blanked him over a decision. So it should be a fight where you're favoring Kessler. The only, question mark on him is, he has injury concerns. I know he had the detached retina, I believe it was, after his fight with Andre Ward. So his injury concerns could definitely be a variable in that fight.
All right. We also have another good card here in Mexico. A couple of good cards back to back here we'll talk about. Gannigan Lopez, 20-4, 20 wins, 4 losses, 14 knockouts at minimum weight. We'll be fighting Denver Coelho, who's 30-4, 30 wins, 4 losses, and 6 draws. With 20 knockouts, fighting for the WBC silver minimum weight title. And we have a featherweight 12-rounder between Robinson Castellanos, 14-9 with 9 knockouts, and Miguel Angel Gonzalez Piedras, 16-3-1 with 7 knockouts. And let's see what else we got. We got, this is kind of a mismatch. WBC silver female bantamweight title on the line between Zelina Munoz, 33-1-2. With 23 knockouts, fighting Candy Sandoval, 6-4, with 1 knockout. It's going to be like taking candy from a baby. Candy with a K, though. Candy Sandoval. Good luck, Candy. You're going to need it. Also, the WBC Youth World Featherweight title is on the line between Sergio Villanueva, 22-1-2, with 13 knockouts, and Daniel Hernandez, 12-7. With 8 knockouts. So if you're down in Guanajuato, Mexico, on Saturday, you can catch that. If you happen to be in Puerto Vallarta, Jalisco, Mexico, you can see a 12-round super flyweight type fight between Juan Carlos Sanchez Jr., who's 13-1-1 with 7 knockouts, and Juan Alberto Rosas, who's 36-6 with 27 knockouts. That is for the IBF super flyweight title. And there's a 10-round welterweight fight as the co-main event there. Armando Robles, who's 19-1-1, 10 knockouts, will be fighting Alejandro Barrera, who's 19-0 with 16 knockouts. And that really does it for the main event fights this week. Till next week, really. There's a few other ones worth mentioning, but not really blockbuster fights until next Sunday, or next Thursday, I should say. So we'll be waiting here for Dennis Maurice to give us a call. While we're waiting for him there, we also should mention that we have the sponsors, our sponsors. We got to thank. We got Milifidel.com, MILIFIDEL.com. We're going to be doing a big report on that interview from a couple weeks ago. We'll get that out on the site overnight here for the morning. It'll be the top story on the blog tonight once I finish posting. And we got another story coming in the works about a guy involved in rescuing some of the dogs from overseas in the war zones. And bringing them back to the U.S. And he's a big Miller Fidel fan and wears the Miller Fidel gear. So we'll be getting in touch with him and telling his story over the next few days. We also are sponsored by DrinkCocaine.com. And that's an energy drink for those of you who might be confused. And so that's our two main sponsors. We also like to give a shout out every now and then to Zion's Shop and Zion'sApparel.com. It's a guy that supports the fight against the old Zion's regime, the guys that bankrupted it anyway. And even though he does still sell Zion's stuff, most of it is from the old days of Zion's. He got stuck with because of the bankruptcy, so we're trying to help sell it all off. And speaking of Zion's, they had a big hearing yesterday out in Las Vegas. I haven't heard how it went, but it should have been pretty self-explanatory. They had a hearing on a settlement. They're going to settle the case against Fertitta Enterprises for around $500,000, which means someday soon I'll probably be getting some cash out of my settlement offer that's on the table right now for 10 cents on the dollar for my claim. See if I get it. But it's a big enough claim where it's a good chunk of money for me if I do get it. So we'll put it right back into Fight News Unlimited, a lot of it, and see what you do with it. But that's coming up. Probably within the next few weeks, I'll figure out what's going on with that. I have a remaining $175,000 claim. So 10 cents on the dollar would be 17 grand and change, if I'm lucky. Enough to buy a new car. So I'll probably get a used one. But
well, I'll tell you right now. I'll tell you right now, I know Zion's isn't broke, and I know they have funny money because they have an energy drink, a no-calorie energy drink, that the A-plus next to where I work sells. And right now the promotion is every can you buy, you get 7 cents off a gallon of gas. So if I go there at the A-plus every day on my way back from the post office and, you know, either get a coffee or a soda or maybe something to eat, some days I'm like, I'm going to get myself a giant zero-calorie energy drink and get 7 cents off a gallon of gas. So like last week alone, I had I went to fill up my car. I had 71 cents off a gallon. from random coffees and giant energy drinks that I get. So I know they're not broke because they're getting at least $2 from me every day.
Well, actually, the current Zion's is not broke at all. They're actually making money hand over fist. And there was actually a recent article that I caught online about Station Casinos, which is owned by the same people, the Fertittas, and the UFC is also owned by them, of course, the majority owners. Station Casinos, actually, when they bankrupted, they cost the Texas Teachers Union, not Texas State, I don't think, but some Texas-based teachers union, lost almost $100 million because of that bankruptcy. So it does affect the little people, you know, this fraud that these guys are pulling off left and right. And I took the last 2 days because of this big hearing coming up and happening yesterday. I wrote this huge article on Bleacher Report, which I started writing for again after like being away for 2 years. And my first ever article on Bleacher Report got over 10,000 hits over the years. And it's about the same stuff. I mean, it's the Fertittas and their history and all that. And it's one of my most popular pieces there. It's the most popular piece, I think. So I've been writing a lot more. I put about at least 10 articles in the system, I think, over the last few weeks, getting back into the groove. So I put together this two-day effort to get this Zion's article in there with references and links and the works. And I thought I was getting a lot of hits really fast, and I did it overnight last night. And by like 6 in the morning, the Zion's Google alert came out. So about an hour after that, now, I didn't find this out till later in the day, but I looked at my email history. About an hour after that, I got the notice, your article has been removed from the system. And they cited all kinds of stuff about, know, we can't support investigative reporting, and things have changed since that first article you wrote 3 years ago, and we have different rules now. I was just like, that's bullshit. What happened was the Zions alert went out. The Fertitas and their underlings probably heard of, or got wind of it, and they have advertising. Zuffa has advertising on Bleacher Report, so I bet they put some pressure on for them to take it off. And I probably would have gotten a lot more than my usual articles just because of the controversy of it, the details that I put in. I had some actual pictures of some of the documents involved. And if I could give them one, you know, break over this whole debacle, I'd say, well, maybe I could have toned it down with making some of the links go to some other independent stuff outside of my own work. I was sort of tooting my own horn a little bit, but, you know, they don't pay you over at Bleacher Report unless you've worked there for a long time and done a lot of volunteer work writing. So, I mean, if I'm going to write for that site and not get paid, I got to be able to get myself some PR and some exposure for my own website where I do get paid for people clicking on links and stuff. So I thought it was only fair when I found out it was going to take longer than I thought to get paid that, hey, I just start working for myself then. Get some of my own stuff out there back in the public eye. So, you know, back and forth with these guys talking all day long about this removal. The final message that I got, they finally admitted it's not the links that I have to correct, it's the whole article that they don't agree with. So that really made me think, well, there's got to be some funny business going on behind the scenes. So that's what I was dealing with today. But the article in full now is over at ZionSucks.com. And you have to read it there, I guess, for now, unless I convince these guys otherwise over at Bleacher Report. But if I knew a little bit more about the law and I had the time, I would bet I could sue these guys for a Bleacher Report. Just think about it. I mean, not only did these guys publish my first article, which was much worse as far as the accusations and, you know, opinionated statements, but over the last few weeks since I started back with these guys, they've been sending me emails almost every other day or so saying, oh, you know, your latest article was great, and, you know, we want to fast-track you to this position, and, you know, we're going to have this guy call you. And there's like four different people in the different hierarchies of Bleacher Report who contacted me because they liked what they saw. So I thought it was, you know, fast track to getting paid. And then, you know, the guy that was supposed to call me never called me. So I sent him an email the other day, you know, what's going on? And then I come to find out, oh, it takes a long time to get paid. So, you know, why not write that thing? And that's what happened. They cleaned it out. I bet that thing would have got more hits than any other article I had on that site. But I guess now I have to do non-controversial stuff for them. And we'll see what happens. But if anybody's a legal expert out there and listening to this show and could think of a claim that I would have against them for doing that, taking away a perfectly good piece that I spent a lot of time on, let me know. I can't think of anything drastic offhand that I could bring as a charge, but words like discrimination and free speech come to mind when I think of, you know, probably the opposite. Guys that are praising the UFC and, you know, saying all kinds of good things about them, they'll never get pulled, even if it's blatant bias or whatever. But if you talk bad about them and they're an advertiser, you get pulled. There's something wrong with that. But it is what it is. Anyway, how about those Celtics? I haven't really been watching the NBA at all this year, so it kind of took me by surprise that the playoffs are already here after, you know, they got the late start anyway.
I'm not sure yet how this weekend goes. But I might be trying to grab tickets to one of the Phillies Red Sox games this weekend in Philadelphia.
Cool. Watching the Red Sox right now.
I'm watching Phillies right now. Have a shot for them.
3-2. There's two Tampa Bay Rays on second and third there. And they got two outs. 1-1 if you count.
What's the score?
3-2. Fly down.
Yeah.
Getting over.
Phillies are up 5-1 in Chicago. They're on a 4-game win streak. They're finally starting to get things together a little bit. So, and hopefully, their hitting is finally starting to catch up with their pitching, which is good. It's kind of hard. I mean, I think any team's fighting a challenge when your number three and your number four hitters miss the first 2 months of the season. Because your best all-around hitter and then your best power hitter are both out. Plus, that's right there, half of your infield. So
right.
they got a rookie playing second for Chase Utley for the most part, and they got a platoon going on at first for Ryan Howard. So that's been kind of difficult. But I was at the game the other night and on Saturday, and I was already in a bad mood because my new hat didn't come yet, so I had to break that old Reliable, which had no more match left. Ended up losing 2-1, and they had like two times they had men on second and third with one out, and they failed to score. That's not going to get it done. So like right now, last night they were up. It was 2-2 in the eighth, and then Carlos Ruiz hit a home run, made it 3-2, and then they just jacked on six runs in the ninth with a grand slam and a couple other hits. So like right now they got Halliday on the mound, and we got him a 5-1 lead in the fifth. So, for the most part, knock on wood, you give Roy Halladay a lead like that, and you should be in good shape. But he's been struggling this year. I don't know if it's like his velocity's down or if his arm is bothering him. I don't know, but he is. The first two games he was spot on, and then the last two games he's been kind of he's been good but not himself.
Right. Well, at least you got a friggin' ace. We don't even have our best ace anymore. John Lackey, he's out for the season, I think.
I was looking at the pitching matchups for this weekend, the three-game series. And, I have the website up right now. I was looking at them. Tomorrow night would be Daniel Bard versus Cole Hamels. Bard 3-4, the right-handed pitcher. 3-4 with a 4.30 ERA. Hamels has been pitching well. He started the season off 0-1, and he's now 5-1. He's won his last five decisions. He's 5-1 with a 2.28 ERA. Saturday would be John Lester for the Sox. He's 2-3 with a 3.71 ERA. Against Joe Blanton. Joe has been pitching well lately. He's 1-3 at one point. He's 4-3 with a 2.96 ERA. And then Sunday would be Josh Beckett, 3-4 with a 4.97 ERA. And Cliff Lee. Now, you want to talk about miscarriage of justice. Cliff Lee is 0-1 with a 1.95 ERA. Yeah. I mean, he had a spin on the disabled list. In one game, he picked 10 shutout innings. 10 shutout innings. They lost in the 11th. 1-0.
Yeah.
And then in the 10th inning, he pulled a muscle in his oblique, and he was out for 15 days. His last game, he had a lead, and the bullpen blew it. Here's what it says here. The Phillies scored a combined 3 runs in his first 3 starts, and the bullpen blew leads in his last 2.
Yeah, that's what sucks about being a pitcher, It's not always all on you, but it goes on your record if things don't go your way with the rest of the game. I always found it hard to, figure out, especially when I was a kid, how do they determine how one guy gets a win and how one guy gets a loss? A guy could literally throw one pitch and get a loss. It just depends on the circumstance.
Or here's one that usually pisses me off. You used to piss me off when I used to play fantasy baseball. Say you got a guy like Roy Halladay, okay? And Halladay is right now, he's on my fantasy team. And he's got a 5-1 lead going into, the bottom of the fifth. Okay, so then say he goes 7 innings. and it's 5-1. Then they bring in, you know, Joe Schmo off the bullpen, who immediately gives up, you know, 4 runs, and the game is now tied. So now the game, he just blew Halliday's lead. Now he makes the final out. The Phillies come up and score 5 runs. This guy, who basically just gave up 4 runs and has an ERA of 36.0, gets the win.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got Dennis. Dennis Maurice on the line. How's it going?
Dennis. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony. How you doing, buddy?
I'm okay. Dennis, how are you?
Long time no talk to, long time no see. We're having the Battle of Badges on at Battle of Badges 4 at Foxwoods Resort Casino on May 19th, and it looks like it's going to be a pretty good, get some good matchups, and so it's
sold out.
Yeah, well, no, it's not so. It's about 100 seats, so there's still tickets available. You buy them online. No, I can't. Like, it's been. We got some. It's going to be good. You know, it's all about the fighters and the organizations and the charities. This is really, really coming together nice. So
now, you know, we can't forget to tell our listeners here too. This is the first event that's all Dennis. Nobody else is butting their heads in. It's just you're running the show this time, so it's going to be a much better show for that, right?
Well, let's put it to you this way here. You know, I started the thing in 2007, and it was me and another guy, my best friend, Gary Bartarelli, and. You know, and I did it to keep. We used to promote shows. We used to box together, so I just wanted to. I figured by keeping him active and busy, and then, you know, and he, you know, unfortunately he didn't make it. You know, he died of cancer. He died of pancreatic cancer. He was like my brother, and I let it go for a couple years after Gary died. I said I'll never do boxing again, and then a couple years later, a couple guys approached me. And they said, would you like to go at it again? I said, yeah, okay. You know, you don't have to do anything, it won't cost you anything. But, and so I said, okay. It's nice that someone thought that the rivalry was good enough between New York and basically New England when you think of all the rivalries, whether it's, you know, I don't know what part of New York you come from, whether you come from Buffalo or you come from the city or any part of New York. It's just a great rivalry between this region here and the Giants and the Jets, the Yankees, the Red Sox. We could go on the whole, you know, the even to get into the hockey teams. But anyway, so let's take it down. Let's take it in the ring. So, and then, you know, we got the famous, this international boxing team I call the FBNY Bravest Boxing has been around since 1981. I just sourced them out on there. And the internet, and they're an international team, and they fight amateur international, go all around the world, and it's quite a big story on those guys. And the next thing you know, we made a match, and then they liked the rivalry, and the rivalry is getting better and better, and we brought it back. And last year, these guys here, I didn't like the way the event. They didn't the guys last year that had the event, the promoters from last year, kind of. Basically, they didn't do a very good job, I don't think, in marketing it correctly. But so, and then they didn't really want any part of it. They didn't really, there wasn't no financial reward for any of the charities or even for they didn't put enough time into it, I don't think. And they just kind of ran at Mickey Mouse, and, you know. But anyway, I said, well, you know, so here I am. You know, they don't want nothing to do with it. Good luck, you know, and so. Make a long story short, I said, well, you know, if I talked to Bobby, I said, I'm going to give it up. Let's give it up. It's over. I don't want to go down and I don't want to, you know, and then Bobby said, no, we really, let's get it on somewhere. We'll bring you guys down here. And we'll fight down here in New York. I'll try to raise the money to bring you guys down. We'll fight at the Garden. We'll fight at Roseland Ballroom. And I said, oh. Bobby says, if we can't do it, that it's going to be anybody benefits by. What's the sense? Just so a bunch of guys can get in there and beat each other up? I said, and the next thing, well, that's pretty much, and I don't want to take up much of your time, but, and I'll just shorten the story. So, well, a friend of mine, I went to a concert, and it's called, and he went to see this entertainer called Dave Mason. And Dave Mason is a famous musician. He used to play with the band called Traffic. And Dave was with Stevie Winwood, and he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I put a call into him, and he had a charity called this Work Vessels for Veterans based out of Connecticut. They were actually lived 20 minutes from the casino, and they were all about helping. And the thing is that the good thing is we got denied the first time at Foxwoods to even put the show on at Fox, so we gave up all. And then at that point, I gave up hope, but I gave one last shot, so right around Thanksgiving, I called this guy Dave Mason. I said, "You got a charity or what?" He says, "But they, no one ever returned my call. I couldn't get anywhere." So finally, they got my message. I left a defeating message on their message. The next thing I know, I had everybody in the charity calling me and say, "Well, we'll do anything we can. We like the event, and here we are." And they had connections in the Foxwoods, and the next thing you know, we're raising money for the work. Basically, for the Work Vessels for Veterans, which does a lot of good things. You can go on their website. It's wvfw.net or even .org. It's Work Vessels for Veterans, but it's wvfv.net, and you can check them out. Boy, they do some great things. They give these guys that are coming back trying to start a business or do something, and they try to give them some seed money. They try to get them some equipment to get them up and running and start their own business. Great, great, great. And one guy donated his lobster vessel, I guess, the president. He donated his lobster boat to one of the guys to get the guy to be a lobster fisherman. So things like that and computers, whatever. Just check it out. And then the next thing you know, we had a meeting. I never met these guys, but yet they're down in Connecticut. And I finally got a chance to meet him. It's like I met, and just to let you know, just these guys are really about doing good things for veterans, especially these young men that are coming out. And there's really some of them lost their homes or whatever. It's a great opportunity for the and they haven't even got any grant money. They've done this one all on fundraising, like events like the one we're doing. They do all kinds of different things to raise money to help these vets, you know. And it's starting to get nationally known. So, but it's like, you know, one thing leads to another. If it's meant to be, well, geez, it must have been meant to be. And like I said, I sat and they came up for that press conference back in February. And it was like, well, I met him back in December. And it's just, I met one of the guys that really, and he was just a genuinely great guy. And I met everybody since then in their organization. And they're all salt of the earth type people. And then when you look at their cars, I'm just so excited about doing something great for our vets. They're excited that we're doing something great for their vets. And, you know, so it's a win-win situation. And they got us into Foxwoods, and here we are. And then the other good thing is we got the New England law enforcement is basically made up of the McCufu boxing team, which is the Massachusetts Correction. The Massachusetts Correction Officers Federate Union, and it's fun. And now I don't have to go crazy and make matches anymore. I pick up the phone, and one of the guys that's on our charity, the National Public Safety Athletic League, Tom Brown, he runs the McCufu boxing team, and he's got 40 fighters ready. They just, and we, you know, we had a turn. It's the first time we had an overwhelming response from New England. And that's just in the McCufu team. They ain't talking like Connecticut and the other places we used to draw from. We just, all we had to do was pick up a phone, made it easy for us. So, and now he's got a team, and it's a real good team. And it's going to be, and these guys can fight a little bit. So it's going to be, and last year, we beat them last year for the first time. And so let's see if we can tie it up this year. Should be interesting, Rich, you know, so.
I don't know what to do, but May 19th, according to my calendar anyway, is Armed Forces Day. You know that?
Is it really? Wow.
What a coincidence, huh?
Yeah. Hey, no, I'm looking forward. I haven't seen you in, it's been a couple of years now, Rich, right?
Yeah, I've been in Vegas for a year and just got back here in November. I haven't even been to Massachusetts except for when I got off the plane at Logan.
Yeah. And Tony, how you been? I mean, you know, let's put it this way. Yeah, I really appreciate you guys bringing me on, and you know, I'm glad, Rich. I'm pretty sure you must have straightened out my website. The battle of the badges.info must be done, right? No, I don't know. I haven't even checked.
Done.
Is it done yet? That's all I care about. But what's that?
Link.
Oh, you know, and the other thing, let me tell you what's going on as far as the event. And not only that, we get, there's a lot of VIP celebrities. You know, when I say VIP, you know, just to add a lot of value and, to it. And I'll name a few of them. We got New England Patriot, former New England Patriot, Joanne Druzzi, and he has his own foundation. He's a survivor of cancer survivor, 5 years strong. It's the type of cancer. It's like I'm going to say it was some type of blood cancer or leukemia type cancer, and he survived it. And he has 5 kids, and he's going to be there with his family, and his. Joe's brothers, if you read on Joanne Druzzi and his brothers, he's got 2 of his brothers and his mom and dad are going to be there. His 2 of his brothers, one of his brothers was the first responder in the first tower on the 20th floor. And guess what? Somehow he found his way out and the building collapsed right behind him, literally. I mean, and the rest is history. They made it, and the other brothers came in, and they came in shortly after for the recovery mission, but he was lucky to get out alive. So I'm really honored to have Joe Andruzzi with 3 Super Bowl rings, a champion in his own, a champion of surviving cancer, and a champion guy and a class act. So we're going to try to help him raise a little money that night as well. So, and then we got none other than Lenny Clark. I think famous comedian, and I guess he's getting into the televisions. The sitcoms and stuff like that, and I guess he's got some movies. But Lenny, you ever hear of Lenny Clark, Rich?
Oh, hell yeah. We were just talking about him earlier. He's Dennis Leary's good friend. He's been a comedian around.
Yeah, we were going to get, you know, something. If we reached out and, you know, and asked, I'd rather have Lenny be like, I don't know if it's proper, but, you know, say, well, we got Lenny Klein, we this guy. But this guy here, I know they're good friends, so I probably should have said, well, geez, can you? And I know that Dennis Leary does a lot of good things for the Worcester firefighters and the New York Fire Department. He's always out there, and he helps burn victims. And I think his cousin was a survivor. Dennis Leary's cousin was a survivor. Well, not a survivor. I don't know if he got caught up in the Worcester fire. I'm not sure. But I think it's something that either he made it out or he didn't make it, and it was his cousin. So I think he does a lot of good things for firefighters in general. So I think he appreciates it. So we probably should have got Dennis invited him in, but I didn't even think about it. You know, you're going so fast just trying to make everything else work. And we get,
I think
so I'm
cameo
asked,
appearance. You never know.
What's that?
He might make a cameo appearance. You never know. You'll give him a call.
If you know Dennis Leary, tell him we'd be honored to have him there. And you know, we wanted him there. And everybody, and one guy said, "Oh, you know, maybe that we don't want to." You know what I mean? I don't know. One celebrity person. You know, we're happy to have Lenny, and you know, maybe these guys are busy. Didn't even think to ask him. I would have loved to have that guy come. You know, but I'm happy to just have Lenny. And then there's Lenny Clark, and then we could go on to the. Then there's this new New England worldwide sensation. He was on the Voice. He was in the top 8, I think, of the. But he signed a couple of. I think he signed with one of the guys. I think it's CeeLo from the Voice. His name is James Massoni. I just got off the phone with his dad, and he's going to be making an appearance. And he's going to be singing at the after hour party at the Comics Club. And that's like huge stuff. He's like really hot right now. I mean, he's going to be playing. He's going to get this one here. He's going to be at the Tweeter Center doing. I forget the name of the band there. I'm going to say whoever's playing at the Tweeter Center this week. And he's going to be there Saturday. And his father's big friend of my friend. How we get a hold of friend of a friend. It's his son and. he was already committed to coming, the father. So the father's bringing his son, and I think he's going to sing in the via in the after hour party. And there's a nice after hour party. And there. So then there's him, and then we got John Ruiz is going to be there. We got Vito Antifermo, Tony DeMarco, Peter Manfredo Jr. As far as I know, Jose Rivera from Worcester, Tony Petronelli. There's a lot of fight guys. Paul Poria, New England champion. I mean, a lot of great fighters are going to be on hand. There's boxing, just boxing people in general. I think the place is going to be loaded. And we got the FDN. I'm pretty sure Bobby McGuire. But we got the FDNY Bagpipers. They're nationally known or internationally known. So it's going to be. And this thing, Rich. You know what the most touching thing of the whole event? And I just want people to know, this thing's going to. We got 15 matches, boxing matches, and I don't want to get into who's fighting who, but there's going to be some good. There's some real good matchups. New York against New England. The big thing about this particular event, such a patriotic event for what it stands for, is that this thing, when you see the way this, I'm just like sitting in the background now because I got a professional event guy that's a big boxing and he used to work with Muhammad Ali and Kenny Norton and a lot of the greats, Archie Moore. He did a lot of stuff for them, and he's running the behind the scenes. His name is Artie Dias, and really just coming out just because he loves the passion of boxing. But anyway, we're putting together this march into the ring like it's second to none if these bagpipers show up. And then you wait till you see the big surprise we got coming. We got some real good singers. Olivia Schweitzer is going to be doing the national anthem and God Bless America, and it's just going to be the whole presentation, so you don't really want to miss that. That's the highlight of the whole show. And commentators, we got a GoFightLive.com is going to be doing a video streaming, even though it's not a televised, it's an internet televised, but we didn't want to skimp on anything, so we got the Iceman John Scully, who is now the corner man, I guess, for Chad Dawson. There's a chance that Chad might show up, so we're not. You know, he knows John's going to try to get him down there. So, but you know, he was on the fence. He had probably other things to do. But there's a chance he might show up. But he's going to be Iceman John Scully and Hermes Yan, radio talk host, blog talk host now is Hermes Yanis. You know, do you know him at all, Rich?
Yeah, I met him.
Yeah, good guy, real good friend. He's been with me for like I'm going back to 2006. I mean, 2005. I mean, I've known Hermes that long, and he's going to be doing blow by blow. So it's going to be like, you know, we're going to be shy of nothing other than it's not going to be on ESPN, but it's going to have the ESPN flavor to it. And I'm not going to take up much more of your time. I've been busy. I'm still making banners, and I'm doing all kinds of last minute things. I'm heading down there tomorrow. Is there anything you want to ask me, Rich? I know I sucked up, and I'm trying to give you as much information in a short period of time. So, go ahead.
You're the
fire
whole show
away.
You're our only guest, so you can take up as much time as you want.
I mean, you know, if we'd have got to this early, I kept saying it. You know, something we did one, and we could have really made it work. I made it work for Hermes. I mean. And we was on his show, and you know, and they're gonna do eventually. They're gonna probably do that. What's that show that they do on? There's an HBO type thing where it's like a reality type thing where they actually go on.
24/7.
With Matt Gumbel. What's that? What's the name of that?
24/7. Right?
Not that one. There. 24/7. Maybe that's it. One
outside
of those shows.
Line,
what's that?
Outside the Line.
What I forget.
Real Sports with Brian Gumbel.
Yeah, what's it called? Real Time Sports. That's what it is. I mean, if someone really wanted to put a thing together, well, what's going on with these guys from New York and what's now going on with our law enforcement team and do a nice presentation of the whole thing? It would be like. I think it'd be a great document, and not even a document. I just think it'd be a great thing to have and get somebody involved. So, you know, maybe in time, you know, I didn't have time, you know, to go after that and chase it around. We're getting known now. Hey, okay, we're at Foxwoods. We're going to ride it. Ray Leonard's fought there. Vinnie Paz has fought in the same place that these young men are fighting at. And like the guy from Fox, when we did the promotional event, like he said, some of the greatest fights of all time have been right in the same arena that these same young men are fighting as amateurs. I mean, it's like a big thing to these young men. And it's like, you know, it's not to be taken lightly, you know, and they're not taking it lightly. Everybody's training hard. Everybody's working hard, and they're all excited, even from New York. Everybody's, you know, now you're taking an amateur guy and a law enforcement guy that's out there, you know, in any way doing public safety type work. Most of these gentlemen are first responder in any kind of accident or tragedy. So we want to just say thank you, and we want to thank our veterans. And then, you know, most important, we could talk about, you know, and I want to thank our sponsors. I get a whole book without naming them all, but, you know, there's a lot of them. And our biggest sponsor right now has been Foxwoods, and we want to just, and then it just goes, the list goes on from there. I could go down the list, the Comics Club, California Pizza, where the California Pizza is going to be doing the dinner. In the Comics Club. I mean, not a dinner, it's a VIP, and then after the fights, you know, you get to go to the pre-party after the fights. I think it's going to be packed solid. It's going to be unbelievable. I mean, it's going to be, I think it's going to be, just going to be a night, Rich. You're going to enjoy it, and you're going to be glad to be a part of it.
What time do I have to be there? Am I going to be a VIP?
Well, I don't know, you know, I mean, you know, I'm not running the VIP thing. I'm not really, you know, this is way, you know, like my limitations. I started the event, me and my cousin Michael started the event, you know, the whole story, but after this event here, I'm kind of I'm not in the background, I'm still working hard getting things together, but I get this guy Adi Dias, and if he's, you know, I could tell him, say, what do you think, you want to let Rich in? I mean, the after hour party, no problem. The VIP, I'd say you're kind of pushing it. You know, I mean, I don't know, maybe, you know, you're going to be busy just getting in. Maybe we'll let you in. You're going to bring in your camera and stuff. You can write some articles. Yeah, I think I'll make sure that you're taken care of. You know, you took care of me. I mean, we go back a long way, as long as, you know, you listen to me, but that's okay.
Sure. Well, I got a long trip. It's a 3-hour drive from me.
I know it is. You got your room. You're going to be staying at... You get your rooms. I already got your room. It's at the 2. You got to go down to Green. Have you got a credit card at all?
No.
Tell you what to do. Go down to Rite Aid or CVS and go get a Green Dot on the wall card and just pay and put $100. You got to put $100 on it, or 200. If you get $200, put it on a green card. Does your friend have a credit card?
Yeah.
Right. Tell your friend, if it's you're going to stay with your friend, make sure he has a valid credit card, and you're both going to need your license. Because even though you're getting the room for nothing, what they do is, like, let's say you all of a sudden you get the munchies at night, and you decide to bring all those little baskets of, like, candy bars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know how much a candy bar in one of those baskets are? They're probably $10.
$6.
Yeah, $6. Guess what, Rich? Don't have the horror, because you're going to be paying for that. If you pick up the phone in that room there, guess what? There's probably another. Every time you pick up that phone, that's where they get you on it. So just make sure you have a valid credit card, and then, you know, they just put a security on it. You know, if something gets broken, it's $100 security. Make sure the guy, if he's got, just go get a Green Dot credit card, and then with a Master logo on it, and just go to the pharmacy and put
$100. What time is the first fight for everybody else?
First fight, sure. we're gonna start punching each other out at 7:30. We ain't wasting no time. They're gonna start getting weighed in at 3, and we want to get ready. We want to get ready to rumble. No later than 7:30, because we want to start partying. The whole thing is getting it over with, making some money, and getting in there and party and have a good time and everybody has fun. And we all shake hands and be gentlemen. And that's the main thing. And one thing that I want these guys to do, I mean, we're competitors. We don't like each other right now, but when it's all said and done, let's shake hands, be friends, and conduct ourselves like the professionals that you're supposed to be. Especially carrying a badge, you have to conduct yourself as such. Because guess what? If some guy or some guy doesn't like a guy from New York and they want to take it down the street, that's fine. You take it in that. You guess what? You take it in there, and you make us look bad. Guess what? You'll be lucky. You will never fight on Battle of the Badges ever again. So, and you won't even be allowed to even step foot in Foxwoods. They got a pretty good, security force there. So I don't think that's a question. Even though we're there in New England and we're in New York, we want to conduct ourselves after the fights. Most fighters I know, when they, before the fight, it's the fight. And then after the fight, we're friends. Let's be friends, and that's it. If you can't be a gentleman after the fight, then we don't want you. I'm going to go down and give the pep talk. I'm going to do the, I like to say it, so I'm going to do the Vince Lombardi talk down in the locker room before the fight.
There you go.
I did it last year. Actually, I had Vinny Paz come down and do it. I wish Vinny was a big supporter of ours last year. So anyway, hey, look, thanks for having me on. I'm very tired. Rich, I'll see you Friday, right? Saturday. I'll see you Saturday. You just go right to the two trees. And, Tony, I want to thank you for having me on. And give my web. Just fix my website, will you, Rich? And I'm going to send you, I get a PDF of all this, of the program book. I'll send it to you tomorrow. I want to give it to you 100%, okay? All right?
Okay, sure.
So you can use it to,
well,
put the spawn.
Thanks a lot for giving us the rundown, and we'll see.
Did I talk too much?
No, not at all.
Hey, Tony.
We still got 10 minutes left in the show, so.
Hey, Tony, are you going to come out for it or what?
I wish I could, Dennis, but I got so much going on with my work. We just had a family member of mine recently pass away, so I've been helping my father. Thank you. I'm kind of helping.
Well,
my father
moved, it's always next year, and hopefully we get back to Foxwoods next year. And you just let Rich know, and you're more than welcome. You'd be my guest. I'll do everything but fly you out. But I'll.
Tony's getting in shape so he can box me at next year's event.
I got to get back in shape. I'm going to start doing some yoga.
All right.
But no, I'm actually looking to make some changes with my career that's going to allow me to have more free time to travel. I am planning to make it up to Boston in September. So that way maybe we can all get together and, see each other. And then I got a few other things I'm doing, but I want to, make sure that I improve my personal life, before I do anything.
Okay, yeah, good. God bless you. And Rich, God bless you. Tony, just take care. Keep an eye on Rich, will you? He's doing all right. I'm glad he looks like he's doing well. All right, Rich, I got to go. Hey, thanks a million.
Right.
God bless. Talk to you guys soon, okay? All right, good night. Good night now.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
So there you go. There's Dennis Maurice. The big event, May 19th, the Battle of the Badges 4. And it's going to be a good show. It always is. Last time I went was a couple years ago. And even though there was a little bit of a brawl after the fight in the after party, it went well. Me and Mickey Ward were breaking up fights at the after party last time. I don't know if Mickey's going to make it this time, but it sounds like there's going to be a lot of other big stars, and it's a good show. And it's really good, the charity that they're going to be helping, especially since last night I actually caught this big report about one of the most well-known veterans, disabled veterans foundations in the country, the Disabled Veterans National Foundation. And come to find out, I guess they've raised over $50 million for veterans, and nobody knows where it actually went. And so they had this big report on Anderson Cooper last night that I was watching, and one guy was saying, well, yeah, we get stuff. One of the guys from the veterans groups that get some support from this company, I guess they get a whole ton of stuff for free, and they just make these shipments out to all these different veterans groups. But it costs them nothing, you know, because they're getting the stuff for free. So this guy was talking about all the stuff that they get, and he's like, yeah, we got 18,000 little containers of hand sanitizer and 20,000 bags of coconut M&Ms. Like, what are these guys going to do with that? Anyway, that's Work Vessels for Veterans is definitely an above board organization that's going to give a lot more to the veterans as far as the percentage of what they take in. And usually, it's a physical object that they're given. They're not really giving a ton of money out, as far as I know. So it should be a good show and supports good charity. And I know that the FDNY and New England Law Enforcement rivalry is big. The New England guys won for the first time last year. The first 2 years, the FDNY guys won. So this year's a chance for the New Englanders to tie it or FDNY to go ahead 3-1. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. I wish I was fighting on the card, but that's it for that. Maybe next year. I'll be a master next year, though. I'll have to get all the blood work and all that stuff like a professional fight. Anyway, that's about it for us. We're going to sign off. Once again, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Milifidel, MILIFIDEL.com. And it's not guaranteed yet, but we might have their buddy Bill Goldberg on next week, the wrestler there, if we're lucky. So keep your fingers crossed for that. And, of course, drinkcocaine.com and ZionsShop.com, ZionsApparel.com. Check them out. And we're going to see you next week. With that, thanks for stopping by.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Okay. Thanks, Tony.
Yeah.